If you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to John? John chapter 13. And we'll be reading verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17. John 13, verses 12 through 17. Can we all stand in reverence for the word? This is God's holy word. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Oh Lord, your word reminds us the kind of kingdom that we live in, that we walk in. It is one that is not like the world. And Lord, you call us to service and servanthood. You call us to those things because that's what you came as, a servant for us, that we might also do the same for one another. Lord, let us take these things to heart today as we hear your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Since we'll be ordaining our brother Michael today, I thought we could take a break from our current sermon series in Exodus, and I'd like us to consider the subject matter of service. And as some of you know, deacon is actually the Greek word for servant. Deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos. And our passage here reminds us what Christian service is like. Christian service is, if I can sum it up, is lovingly and humbly dealing with dirty feet. That is Christian service. Jesus, after he had washed the disciples' feet, he said this, Do you understand what I have done to you? And as we think about the subject matter of washing feet, our feet being washed, us being called to wash one another's feet, Jesus is asking that same question to you. Do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand the implications? And so it is important that we do understand. So Jesus, he had just washed the disciples' feet, and Jesus took on perhaps the most menial task of his day. It was the kind of task that even certain servants were exempt from because it was such a menial task. It's a degrading task even by today's standards. If you think about it, the task itself forces you to physically lower yourself to the other person. It forces you to humble yourself. It puts you in a humble position. And by Jesus washing their feet, he was washing the dirtiest part of their body. Some of you know, in that time, people wore sandals, roads were not paved, feet were dirty. And he goes and he washes the dirtiest part of them. Now, this experience was a very traumatic experience for the disciples. You see it in Peter's reaction. Peter cannot bear to see Jesus stoop so low like this. And so he says, "Never, Lord," when Jesus comes to him. The Son of God becoming a servant, his master becoming his slave. It's like the Queen of England coming to your house to scrub your toilets. And even that analogy falls short of what's going on right here. But it's like that. And I can see Peter and the disciples so uncomfortable, cringing within. It completely violates and overturns their understanding of societal order, of rank, and of status. And to them, this is not just a humble act. To them, it's a humiliating act. This was traumatic. And we see that this is also traumatic for John, too. And you see the trauma in his narration. If you look at verse 4 and 5, what you notice is that as John is talking about Jesus washing their feet, you know, John could have said, "And he washed our feet." But notice, John, he kind of slows down. He gets a little bit into the details, doesn't he? Verse 4, 5. Notice the different phrases there. He rose from supper, starting with verse 4. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. John, he remembers Jesus' movements like they were yesterday. This is something that was etched in his memory. And this was traumatic for John, too. But as he retells the story to us, you can see that the experience and the memory has grown to have a wonderful kind of trauma for John. John is captivated by this memory of Jesus. He is awestruck by his love and his humility. The Son of God becoming the servant of all. John was so traumatized by Jesus' love. You know, we just sang it about the love in his eyes. John remembers that. Well, in verse 7, it wasn't part of our main passage, but in verse 7 of chapter 3, Jesus says to Peter, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand." And so Jesus says, there's something that's going to happen a little bit later that's actually going to shed light on what I've just done for you. And so the washing of the feet, it's actually a prophetic act. It's anticipating, the foot washing was anticipating actually a greater humiliation that was to come. Because Jesus would go on to be mocked and beaten and crucified. And if he couldn't go any lower, he would lower himself to death and the very pains of hell. But it is there in his suffering and his death that he served our greatest needs by washing away the filth of our sins and the very worst parts of us, brothers and sisters. Jesus goes to the darkest place of our hearts, the places that even we don't want to go, or we can't bear to go. And he goes there and he scrubs us clean by his blood. And so what you see is that Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet, that gives you a picture of the gospel. Do you want to know what the gospel is like? This is what it's like. It's God stooping down to wash your dirty feet. That is what the gospel is like. Brothers and sisters, do you have this great gospel? This dirty foot washing gospel. And this is what makes the gospel so wonderfully traumatizing to us. You know, the reason the gospel stops becoming traumatizing and transforming is either one, we don't think we have dirty feet that need to be washed, or two, we don't think that Jesus goes to the dirtiest places of our lives. We think Jesus will give us grace for not praying enough, not reading our Bible enough, for being impatient on the road, but not for the major sins, not for the monstrous sins, not for the kinds of sins that ruin reputations and relationships, not Not those things. Jesus doesn't go there. And for some of us, we have an arms-washing gospel, as if Jesus, he washed our arms, which are really not that dirty. No, the gospel is not an arms-washing gospel. It's a dirty feet-washing gospel. Brothers and sisters, there's only one way for us to be wonderfully traumatized by the gospel. It's to know, first of all, that we got dirty feet. There's a lot of filth in us. But secondly, Jesus went down and cleansed those dirty feet. That's the gospel. Do you have that wonderful gospel? That gracious gospel? That wonderfully traumatizing gospel? Jesus goes to the worst parts of us and he cleans us. Do you understand what he has done for you? Jesus will go on to say, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 14. Jesus washing our feet is something that we receive, but it's also something that we respond to. We respond by washing each other's feet. And so when Jesus says, do you understand what I've done for you? Part of us really understanding that is not only having received the grace that we have in Christ, but giving it to other people. And that's when you truly understand what Jesus has done. And can we pause and can we acknowledge the difficulty of what Jesus is saying here? Think about how difficult it was for the disciples who were hearing that. The disciples, we know this, they were rivals. You know, they're always talking about who's the greatest. Who's the best person here among the 12, Jesus? They were rivals. And when you're rivals with someone, when you're in competition with someone, the last thing you want to do is take the lower position and to serve them. That's pride swallowing. That's losing, isn't it? Blessing them, that would mean their advancement at your expense, their comfort at your cost, their honor at your humiliation. But Jesus insists on this, brothers and sisters. Instead of being so consumed about one-upping your rivals, the kingdom of God is such that you one down them. You take the lower position. You humble yourself. You serve them. That is the gospel life. Here's God's will for those of you guys who are quietly in competition with someone. Serve them. That's God's will for you in that situation. And think about things from Jesus' perspective for a moment. Think about those bumbling disciples. Spiritually inferior to Jesus. Spiritually ignorant. Spiritually slow. And these guys were selfish guys. They only knew how to operate in one way, out of self-interest. It was always about their position, their power, and later on their preservation. Because we find out later on that they're going to flee. At Jesus' greatest moment of need. It was always about them. It was always about them. And there was even Judas, the one who would betray Jesus. And think about yourself when Jesus washed your feet. Who were you? What kind of person were you? And yet he did. If we are to truly follow Jesus' example, that means we're called to love and serve those who don't deserve it. Those who have hurt us. Those who will hurt us. Those who don't get it. They're so slow about spiritual things, so slow about the gospel. We are to serve them. Those who don't have their act together, they keep screwing up. We are to serve them. Those who are selfish and man who just always think about themselves. Yes, we are to humble ourselves and serve them. What often gets in the way of serving others is our judgment, isn't it? That person, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my love. They don't deserve my humility. We like to be humble to people we like. Right? That's convenient. That's easy. But that's not what God's calling us to here. Jesus blows that up. We're to serve even the worst kinds of people. Can we think about the dirt too? Let's think about the disciples once again here. They were the original hearers. They had spent 3 years together as a group. They traveled everywhere together. And the thing is, when you travel with people, you spend time with people, you learn the worst about them. Isn't that true? It's inevitable. Extended time with anybody is dangerous. It's exposing. And you better believe the disciples, they knew all the dirt on each other. Peter knew John and James and their selfish ambition. They were all about power and position. John, he knew all about Peter and his impulsive big mouth, his big boastful mouth. They probably couldn't take it. And Jesus says to them, you got to wash each other's dirty feet. In other words, though you know the worst about each other, you must bear with each other. You must show grace to each other. You must serve each other. And it's so counterintuitive. Just think about smelly feet, dirty feet. When you come and you encounter sour, stinky feet, what is your reaction to that? To turn the other way, right? But not in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom, dirty feet are to be washed, not to be repulsively turned away. This is what's crazy. In the kingdom of God, we walk towards dirty feet so that we can wash them, not to turn away from them. And church, as we spend time together and as we grow together, guess what? We're going to know all the worst about each other. You're going to know the worst about me. I'm going to know the worst about you. What are we going to do at that point? What do we do when dirty feet emerge in our relationships? What do we do? We're to take the lower place. We're to show grace. We're to love people, bear with them, and serve them. Jesus says, basically, that we must always have a towel ready to wash the dirty feet of those around us, quick to show grace, quick to serve. Brothers and sisters, we must bring the wonderful trauma of grace to others. Traumatize people in that wonderful kind of way in humility as you serve them. And not that they would see you, but that they would see Jesus. And you can't go a week of doing this stuff of washing feet without Jesus, can you? Trying to wash someone else's feet without the transforming trauma of Jesus having washed your own is arduous. You are not going to have the power. And so you begin with Jesus and you stay with him. He has washed you. He has washed you clean. And there's some of you here, you need to hear that again. I know you've heard it a lot, but you need to hear that again because you're just not so sure. There's a reason why Jesus went straight for the dirty feet, to the dirtiest parts, to teach us the beauty of the gospel and his grace. Brothers and sisters, he's cleansed you completely and fully. And to receive that, the parts that others might call unforgivable, he has gone to that place to forgive you. And let the happy reality of grace move you to other people. Let us humble ourselves to others. Let us live a life of service. And that is where the blessing lies. Verse 17, what does Jesus say here? If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. The blessed life, brothers and sisters, is not advancing up one-upping everyone, being ahead of everyone, living for yourself. No, Jesus is saying that the blessed life is when you take the lower place and you go down and you humble yourself and you serve others in the way that Jesus has served you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit that we would understand these things as Jesus says. Do you understand what I have done for you? Oh, we need your Spirit to understand these things, to understand them deeply, to understand them wonderfully, to understand them powerfully, for it to transform us. Oh God, how is it that this is the gospel, that you are the God who would come down and wash our dirty feet? How is that the case? And yet it is. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let us be traumatized, mesmerized, transformed, and captivated by your love for us, your humility, the way that John, it was just so clear in his mind of how you moved in humility. How moving that was. How transforming that was. How unforgettable that was. God, you have done that for us too. Oh Lord, let us take these things to heart, to have a happy heart because of what you've done. But Lord, these things are to not only be received, but to be given and responded to. And Lord, let us be committed to each other. Lord, we repent of the ways that the dirty feet of others has gotten in the way of loving people, of loving them. If anything, Lord, it's the very reason why we should love them. Lord, we pray for your grace to work its complete work in us. Let us bring the grace and the culture of our Lord into our church. Let us be so committed to serving each other. Let us remember that the way up is the way down. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.